Well, we're talking about, is we're still in our faith series. This morning, we're going to talk about the law of confession. The law of confession. And it all ties together. You can't have faith without talking. And if you got faith, you will talk. Because that's an element, say element, of faith. Faith always speaks. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? How many of you believe the scripture? Because that's a key thing here. What does the scripture say? The scripture says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, where am I? Okay. I missed my thing changed on me. Hold on. We good. All right. Look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So in other words, what he's saying, if works could get you into what God got for you, then faith is not necessary. But to him that worketh not, in other words, but is doing the believing, because that is who God is. God is the God of faith. And in order to approach him, we must approach him in faith. And I think that could be another lesson. But that is the element a lot of people don't. We don't go to God in faith. We go to God in fear. I know it's very popular to say, just do it in fear. That's not Bible. He said, you come before me, you must believe that I am and that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. That's what God said, right? Now who you going to believe? You going to believe a popular slogan or you going to believe the scripture? Because a lot of things that we grab hold of are slogans that people have tagged. But they're not necessarily accurate according to this word. So he says, look at verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. See, the man is empowered to prosper, that God has said, you are righteous. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, because Abraham believed it was counted as righteousness. Even though Jesus had not yet come and ratified the new birth, the Bible declares that because Abraham believed God, it was looked upon as righteousness. Ooh, Jesus. God counted him just like you and I, born again. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncertain. In other words, he was still uncircumcised. Ooh, Jesus. And it was accounted unto him as righteousness because he believed God. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. He says, Abraham became the symbol or the catalyst for others to become righteous. Because the moment they believe like Abraham, God accounted it unto them as righteousness. Oh, Jesus. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise, say the promise, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It didn't come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The promise is not through the law. It came through faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. In other words, you cannot condemn a person where there is no law condemning it. You can't condemn a person where there is no crime. Amen. Therefore, look at verse 16. It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Say all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Oh, that's key. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now let's look at verse 17. Now notice here in verse 17 that God did not say, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So what did God really say? He says, now how many of y'all are willing to believe what the Bible just said? You're going to really believe it. So what did God say? God said, I have made, already done, made you the father of many nations. Now let's go back on the journey of Abraham. So from God's point of view, how many know it's always better to see from God's point of view? It's always wiser to see his point, amen? So from God's point of view, Abraham was already that. Go to Genesis 12, and let's just start the journey of faith with Abram. Genesis chapter 12, look at verse 4, I believe. Now, Abram is in Haran with his father, all his kin folks, and God gives him a message and say, I need you to move. Leave all your kin folks behind. Now, how many of you know he didn't totally obey? God said, leave everybody. Take your wife and your belongings and get out of Dodge. So Abraham, look at verse 4, departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. You see that was you see how that put in there? Because that's key. Because it's going to affect how God deals with Abraham. Disobeying God does not make things turn out the way you think they should turn out. He disobeyed God here. When you go back and read it, God told him, don't take none of your kin folks. Because they all had issues. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So God says, Abram, you're 75. That don't make you old. And he says, leave all your kin folks. And he says, I gotta have one homie with me. And Lord says, I don't want you to take any of your kin folks because they're going to be a problem down the road. So guess what God stopped doing? He stopped talking to Abram. Lot was with him. You don't believe me? Turn to the next chapter. Genesis 13. And look at verse 14. God is cool. I love God. And the Lord said unto Abram, now we don't hear any talking. Lot has decided he's going to go a different direction. They're splitting up because, you know, the herdsmen, they got so much cattle, they got so much belongings that they can't live in the same land anymore. So Lot has decided to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham is going a different direction. Now God talks to Abram again. And in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. So that meant God wasn't talking as long as Lot was around. You better stop disobeying. Woo. So God didn't start talking to Abram again until after Lot left. Abram was learning because he wasn't called Abraham at that point. He was called Abram. And it says, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. And for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Say forever. Now, as he keep right on journeying, and you're going to see that the more he began to talk to God and stuff like this, and God is talking with him, and he keep moving about and turn to chapter 15. Now, God is having a discussion with Abram. Now, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Who he said didn't give him any children? Okay. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. So Abram is telling God that he has no heir born from him. So God gives him assurance that he will have an heir. You would think like, That should have satisfied Abram, right? So from the age of 75 to 85, there's still no kids. Then we just read that God says, you're going to have an heir? All right. So he journeys into the land of Canaan. He lives in Canaan for 10 years, and there's still no baby. Look at Genesis 16. So, like most of us, you know, we're going to help God out. Since no, because see, God gave him an assurance back there in Canaan. When he first went there, now, when he first got there, God says, you're 75. So the baby could have come anytime after 75. God already released the promise. God was not the issue. Now, because, all right, let me get to my notes, because this is funny, but it's good. So here Abraham is now 85 years old. He still ain't got no heir. And he says, and Sarai came up, they came up with this plan. We're going to help God. Are you in for the ride, Abram? Abram said, girl, whatever. Like a lot of men do when the wives get on their nerves. Whatever. Just quit talking. Because I'm sure she approached him more than one time. This was not a one day conversation, and then he go sleep with the maid. No, she badgered him. So at 85, say 85. So something was working. Abram goes into Hagar, and she becomes pregnant. believe, now you don't have to believe what I believe, that when God and Abram had the conversation about having an heir, that healed and flowed to his body immediately. But healing was not realized by them. You hear that? Well, why did it take so long for them to have Isaac? I'm so glad you asked that question. Like many of us, when it didn't happen the first time or the second time when they came together, fear attacked them and they began to waver. Now they have inserted a new issue and a new insecurity has arisen. Look at Genesis 16. This is still the father of faith, but he didn't come out the package being that kind of man of faith. I'm walking you through some things so you can get a better understand how your faith is important. Look at Genesis chapter 16. Look at verse 6. We already there. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So what happened? Insecurity has risen. Why? Hagar says, I got pregnant the first time. So it can't be me and it ain't Abraham. So you the problem, Sarah. That's why ain't no baby here. Do you see what problem was created that they never had? Because they were trying to help God out of their whatever. So can't you see the problem they created with the way they thought? Hagar has become a menace now because she thinks she's better than Sarai. After all, Abraham can't be the problem. He got me pregnant on the first attempt. Sarai, you must be the problem. And this began to harass and began to bother Sarah. I can imagine. So in the meantime, while Abram and Sarah are trying to help God, God's still not talking to him. Because he didn't obey God. Finally, after 13 years of silence, how many of y'all can go 13 years and God don't talk to you? Don't lie, because some of y'all have already been there. You don't know when God stopped talking to you. He stopped talking when you, the first time you disobeyed. Communication was shut down. Watch this. You ought to be thankful for grace and mercy. So after 13 years, God visits Abram at 99 years old, and they still don't have a baby. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Look at verse 1. So Abram didn't start out being that great man of faith. He started out just like you and I did. You had to learn to live a life of faith, but you got to say what God says about you to get that. Watch this. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between. Now God has to do something different to persuade Abram. Covenant has got to be cut. Abram understands covenant. Say, Abram understands covenant. God always deal with you based on your understanding. So God says, I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. God said to him the same thing. But now God has to take it a little bit a step further. Why? Because Abram needs to be persuaded. Mm. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Woo, 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 glory. Mm. After 13 years of silence, watch this. Okay, let's keep reading. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. It was the sign of faith. So after 13 years of silence, God visits Abraham at 99 years old and decides to give Abram a covenant cut in the blood of animals, you keep continuing to read, and that's what he did. And that tied the oath to the promise. What is the oath? The oath is where I can't get out of it. It's not just a contract. It's a covenant. I can die if I break covenant. I have to stop being God if I break this oath with you, Abram. That's what God had to do to persuade Abram. And he did this so that Abram would know that what he had promised him, he was able also to perform. It's called covenant. So God says to Abram, and I'm going to paraphrase this, to help you keep the promise before you daily, I am changing your name and Sarai's name. You are to no longer call yourself what you used to be. You are to proclaim what I say about you. Abram, you are Abraham, the father of many nations. And Sarai, your name has been changed to Sarah, and you shall be called blessed mother, and many kings shall be of you. They were not permitted to say what they were no longer. Just like you and I, we've been commanded to live by faith. So we're not supposed to say who we used to be. So then what held up the manifestation of Isaac? They had a speaking problem. They kept calling themselves what God said was no more. And it wasn't until he was 99 that he was persuaded. He started out at 75. We're talking about 24 years. It took 24 years to persuade him. Now, once he got it, he had it. You shouldn't take that long to believe God. Abram didn't have the written word. Jesus hadn't come and died for our sins. You don't have an excuse to not believe. But they had a speaking problem. Now, when their words came into agreement with God's word, they received the manifestation of the promise. You and I have had a name change. If you're no longer that worm, the hustler, the liar, that cheater, that drug addict, that prostitute, that gambler. You're not that anymore. Your name has changed. Your identity has changed. So what should I say? I should only confess my new identity. I shouldn't carry around two licenses in my wallet. One that says who I used to be and one that says who I'm trying to be. He says, you've had a name change. if you indeed are born again. And unless you embrace your new name, which is called the redeemed, the church, the healed, the rich, the prosperous, whatever God has identified you as, that's what you should call yourself. You're not struggling. I'm overcoming. Amen. Then the manifestation. Woo, because if you don't embrace it, your manifestation is held up. And it's not because it hasn't been done. I'm going right back in the same circle. That's all you can talk about in faith. It's all linked to what you think and believe about yourself. In Romans 4:17, you don't have to turn to Abram was trying. Go there. Just go there. Look at Romans 4:17 so you can read it with me. I believe you need to read it. Look at Romans 4:17 again. Is it Romans 4:17? No. I want Genesis. Wait. Yep, it's Genesis. I apologize. Genesis. It'd be Genesis. Chapter 17. And let's look at verse 17. And you go through all, now look at verse 17, Genesis, and chapter verse 17 of that chapter. Y'all got it? Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? What is he doing? God, if you go and read the whole covenant, God just spilled out for him. Now he come back with something like this. He laughing, and he says, but Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael, and see, he bringing up his problem. Like you do when you go to pray, he bringing up a problem. Oh, Jesus. What was Abraham trying to do? He was trying to get God to accept the plan he and Sarah had come up with. Instead of instantly, say instantly, accepting God's plan, he was still wrestling with believing and saying what God said about him. Watch this. Look at verse. Oh, that 18, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, is going to bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. God didn't address Ishmael first. And I would establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So God says to Abraham, I'm going to paraphrase this. Before you start asking about your failed idea, get my plan in your heart and your mouth first. You still trying to ride God about them failed plans you had before you ever came to God. Oh, Jesus, I knew I just stepped on somebody's toes, but that's all right. They got to be stepped on. Because we still trying to get God to agree with what we think. Abram trying to get God to agree to Ishmael. And God said, Sarah going to have the baby that I'm talking about. It ain't coming through a surrogate person. It's coming out of your bowels and out of the wife that you married to. So you, before you start, you need to stop going to God with your ideas and ask him to put his in you. Because that's what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing everything, and everything you need will be added to you. And then God says something to Abram. He says, In that same passage over there, Genesis, he said, and I'll take care of the mess you made my way. He said, quit worrying about Ishmael. I'm going to take care of him. I've already got a plan for him because he's in the earth. And God didn't hate Ishmael, but he was not the promised seed. And you need to stop asking God to turn your plan into the promised plan. A lot of y'all got problems because you're still trying to get God to do it your way. He said, I'll clean up your mess, but I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, the time and I got planned for it, if you allow me to. See, that's always best. Say, that's always best. When we allow God to do it his way. In closing, if we will put into our mouths what God has said about us, then we can get the same kind of results that Abraham received once he was fully persuaded. That's what we pick up in Romans 4. It says he was fully persuaded, but he didn't start out being fully persuaded. But see, it's being fully persuaded that brings the manifestation, not being almost persuaded. And then you must be so persuaded that you're going to say what God says about you and that situation. Maybe you are believing for a child or finances or your health. What are you saying concerning these issues? Are you saying words that are contrary to the promise? Now, if I was looking to have a child, because which I did, when the doctor told my husband and I there was less than a 50% chance of us having children after I had an ectopic pregnancy that almost took me out of here because I was being poisoned in my bloodstream from within. The baby had gotten behind my fallopian tube and was breaking up into pieces. I had to decide. The doctor said, it's so much scar tissue, it's no way. He said, I give you less than 50%. But God. See, I had to put something in my mouth that was contrary to the doctor's report. Because if I kept saying the doctor's report, I would have gotten what the doctor said. And not what God said. The doctor said it was impossible. God said all things are possible to them that what? Believe. He says, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And my response was, Lord, you are God and nothing is too hard for you. That's my response. Woo, Jesus. So what are you saying about your issue? Are you saying words that are contrary to the promise of God? Are you wavering? Are you up and down about it? Then you're not fully persuaded. You're not fully persuaded. That's why it hasn't manifested. Because you won't be constant about saying what God said. You do it a couple of days and then you quit. And you come back a month later and you start saying again. See, consistency is the key to the manifestation. So when you and I are fully persuaded, the manifestation comes. So what took them 24 years from 75 to 99 showed up in 9 months. Here comes Isaac. Took him 24 years. Man, don't you let that time go back. Her time goes back so quickly. And you're wrestling with believing. You're wrestling with saying what's right. I'm going to leave you with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, you don't have to turn there. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Because you're going to say what you believe, and you're going to believe what you say. You keep saying it, you'll believe it. You keep saying it, you'll get a manifestation. Good or bad. When you are fully persuaded of God's word, your speech will match your heart. When you are fully persuaded, nobody have to tell you to say what's right. You'll say it. Come on, stand to your feet.